Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. During the coronavirus shutdown, many of us have had a lot of time on our hands while we're staying at home. And for some of us, that means a little overindulging in food. But for others, it means drinking more alcoholic beverages, a little more, or even a lot more. What is a little or a lot more? And what does that mean exactly if you are? Should you be concerned about it? Well, tonight, we're examining how drinking during the shutdown is affecting our health and other things. My guests are Will Burnett. He is a community partner of the Howard University Alcohol Research Center program and president of the community resources arm of Prestige Healthcare Resources. Also, Dr. Janice Davis, director of clinical education with the Howard University School of Social Work. If you have concerns about drinking during the coronavirus shutdown, we want to talk to you tonight. We want to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Davis and Mr. Burnett, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Let me first start with something that has been not so much surprising. And as I said, you know, people are at home. You have more time on your hand. People are working at home, or unfortunately, if they, you know, are not, you know, they are sitting and trying to find jobs, trying to get unemployment. And if you may have a bottle of wine or something a little stronger, you may drink it or more of it. There have been reports from the WHO as well as from other organizations that suggested this is an issue. Does that surprise you, Mr. Burnett?
Not at all. I think that people's response right now is largely based on trauma and a lack of resources to help them get through a very adverse time. We expect to see a wave of mental health problems, depression, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress, suicide. As people struggle to adjust to some of the socio-environmental issues that they're currently facing, not being able to have regular work, lack of access to food, lack of access to health care, being estranged from your family, not being able to hug and see your grandchildren or your children because you're quarantined, and displacement, removal from family is one of the biggest predictors of substance use from a psychogenic standpoint.
You know, when we first started seeing lockdowns, you know, Dr. Davis, we heard the same thing, whether it was in the DMV or in Texas or New York or wherever it happened to be. All non-essential businesses are shut down. However, grocery stores are still open, drug stores are still open, banks are still open, and liquor stores are still open. Does that surprise you that liquor stores would be considered essential businesses, and why?
It really doesn't surprise me if you look at it from an economic perspective, just because of the taxes that they get on the sale of alcohol. So that would not be surprising. In terms of needing it to survive, yes, it's a little bit shocking that we would find that alcohol was considered something that you needed to have, and at the same time you're looking at putting conditions on Walmart and Target for selling non-essential things. So it really defines who we are as a country, where we see addiction, where we see income. It is also, if you note, that in most lower-class neighborhoods where poverty is present, you have more liquor stores. And if you have more liquor stores, then that means if they're open, they have greater access because they are home and they don't have to go very far to get there. it will also expend the little bit of income that they may have coming in. So depending on how you want to look at the larger picture of how minorities in this country are treated, it won't be surprising that you would have the liquor stores open on a regular basis so that you can use the money from the community, but also the impact that it will have on the community in terms of domestic violence and what home life is going to look like because of the alcohol usage. So we need to look at how all of those fit together and work together.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the consumption of alcoholic beverages during the coronavirus shutdown. Are you drinking a little more? Are you drinking a lot more? How are you feeling about that? Is that something that you should focus on? And indeed, if you have a problem with alcohol, whether you're a recovering alcoholic or any other kind of issue related to it in your household, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Mr. Burnett, just to give a little transparency here, while I am not an alcoholic or recovering alcoholic, I do drink. I cook with wine and the like. And about 2 months ago, I went and stocked up, just like I did with paper towels, toilet paper, food, you know, the whole bit. Haven't been back to the store, to the liquor store in 2 months, and there's still a lot of it in here. I probably have been having more than I normally would, but I am not concerned. Who should be concerned about more consumption than they normally would drink?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, the individuals have to be concerned about their own health. We have to improve the level of healthcare literacy. People have to take responsibility for navigating the barriers to good health, especially in communities where you have social environmental disparity or healthcare disparity. When people are not willing or able to get to the level of taking personal responsibility for health, they tend to rely on agencies or hospitals to do for them that they may not be willing or able to do for themselves. You know, and the reality is the fact that you have already noticed that, you know, alcohol drinking may be higher than it should be, or that, you know, according to the literature, drinking alcohol can increase the risk of catching COVID. That should be a concern, because I'm not going to do anything to help COVID. I need to do things that will help prevent, to flatten the curve, to steam as a means of cleansing my lungs. Things that you can do at home instead of waiting until you're in crisis, because COVID is real. It is very real.
But let me drill down a little bit more about that so you can be clear about my question. And okay. I'll use myself again as an example. Pre-COVID, I rarely drank during the week. Why? Because I was at the radio station. I'm working from home now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I come home, I may get something to eat. I'm in the bed. On the weekends, however, I may have wine with dinner. I may, if I'm watching a movie or something like that, or if I'm spending time with friends, well, yeah, you have something, you know, you have a drink or two. But now that I'm at home, I'm still not drinking every night. However, I probably will have 1 to 2 more drinks between Monday and Friday, when that was just something I didn't do before. Drinking and driving isn't an issue for me because I'm not going anywhere. Should I be concerned?
I would.
Really?
And I'm going to One, alcohol is a poison. It's not normally found in your body. And we can justify that, you know, the way that people process alcohol is different from the way that alcoholics process alcohol. Your metabolism is different. But the message that you send to the community and to the to your family and to the people that are connected to you is almost as if alcohol is okay. It is not okay for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not. Some people process it differently. And the reality is, alcohol use has had a devastating impact on the health of our community, the people that live within our community, and the way that alcohol is marketed, especially in the Black community. You know, we drink more malt liquor than any other ethnic group, probably by a factor of 10. And, you know, with the levels of unemployment and lack of access to health care, I would strongly suggest for me, you know, mm-hmm. I stopped drinking 34 years ago. And, you know, for me, I stopped drinking because of the consequences associated with alcohol use as well as addiction.
Okay.
All of mm-hmm. that across the board, we're going to see increases in. You know, if you drive down Good Hope Road or Martin Luther King Avenue or anywhere there's a drug strip, the drug dealers are still out there. The liquor stores are still open. You know, a drug is a drug is a drug. And we as community leaders have to think about the message that we give to our community, because the community doesn't always listen to what you say. They look at what you do. And the type of legacy that you leave really is the lessons that you impart to your family, to the community, to the families, individuals, and people and institutions that you touch. To me, that's where your real legacy is. It's not about how much money you make. It's about the messages that you leave. Because your kids and the people that know you will remember that long after you're gone. And they'll hopefully pass those messages on to their children and to other people that they touch. And we need to be very mindful of that, if that makes sense.
Sorry about that. I think I may have gotten disconnected. My question was, Dr. Davis, can you share with us some of the issues that may have been that may cause someone to reach out for a bottle or a beer or some form of alcohol, a trigger that may not have been problematic pre-COVID-19?
Well, one of the triggers is anxiety. And although it may have been prevalent before COVID-19, it became exacerbated by the fact that COVID-19 represented so many things that we didn't know. The world that we knew that was safe and relatively predictable all of a sudden became unpredictable. And as a result of that, many people felt totally out of control. You could not control your life. They didn't know what this virus was. There was mixed messaging when you were listening to television and news, and it was constantly being bombarded by all of this news, and people are dying and things can't come in. And first, you know, it was way over there, and then it was in Washington State, and then it was right next door. So I think that as all of that began to build, the anxiety increased along with it. So that added to people wanting to self-medicate. When you look at the loneliness, again, we talked, Mr. Barnett talked about not being able to see your family members, not being able to be with your children, and not even being able to be with your support group, because if you're a person in recovery, mm-hmm. you may have had a support group that you would be with on a regular basis, and now everyone is self-isolating, and we're talking about it. And even as we're going to do social distancing, well, social distancing is isolation, depending on where you are. And if you are always lonely when you're by yourself and you used your group attendance and those types of things to keep you socialized. Now they've all been stripped away, and they were stripped away very quickly without people really having a plan B. So the people you expected to be able to support you were also floundering and trying to figure out, what do we do now? So
that is...
I think people's response was good, but I do think that when you look to the person you look up to and they're like, I don't know what to do right now, it makes it very difficult.
I want to drill down a little bit more on that, too, after the break. So please, both of you, hang on as we transition to Sirius XM Channel 141. But a quick programming note for our WHUR listeners. Of course, HUR at Home is in full effect tonight at 8:15 on Facebook and YouTube. I will be talking to Rosie Allen Herring, who is the president and CEO of the United Way of the National Capital Area. We're going to talk to her while she's at home and find out what's happening with the United Way on this Giving Tuesday, particularly during this really difficult time when some of us can give and some of us are in need. So that's HUR at Home, 8:15 on Facebook and YouTube. Rosie Allen Herring, president and CEO of the United Way of the National Capital Area. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're looking at how drinking during the shutdown is affecting our health and our lives. My guests are Will Bennett, community partner of the Howard University Alcohol Research Center program and president of the community resources arm of Prestige Healthcare Resources, and Dr. Janice Davis, director of clinical education with the Howard University School of Social Work. If you have a question or a comment or a concern about drinking to excess alcohol during the COVID-19 shutdown, you give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back, and I want to, first of all, salute you, Mr. Barnett, for being clean and sober for 34 years. That certainly is a momentous feat. But to that point, for those people who, as I mentioned earlier, who are not alcoholics, who may not have even drinking problems, for those who may enjoy a glass of wine or two, I wanted to drill down a little bit more about this. When should someone who has never had a problem before think that they may have a problem that developed during the pandemic? So in other words, if you have a glass of wine a week with dinner pre-COVID-19, but now you're having three glasses of wine, three glasses a week, should you be concerned if you are not, an alcoholic, but you are drinking more? This is the addiction question, whether it's alcohol or gambling or anything else. We know that, this is a problem when it gets in the way of other issues related to your life, your family, your job, and the like. But just because you have three a week instead of one a week, is that a problem?
I'm going to jump out there and based on my experience, and I've worked in substance abuse for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is that, for people who drink socially, there can be a fine line between what's socially acceptable and what's problematic. And that line becomes more clear as you develop consequences as a result of your drinking. Now, you can easily say, well, I haven't had any real consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But people justify what they go through and minimize. It's just part of your defense mechanism, and that's a normal part of being who you are for any individual. The development of alcohol or alcoholism doesn't happen overnight for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can drink, you know, non-problematically for years. And as their body changes, as they get older, there's a reduction of hepatic enzyme activity and lean muscle mass. There's loss, facing loss of family, of people, of friends, creates a reason to use alcohol as a coping mechanism. So I'll say if you use alcohol or substances as a coping mechanism deal with everything that you're going through,
mm-hmm.
then you should definitely be concerned. In an effort of transparency, you know, I just recovered from COVID two weeks ago.
Goodness.
I went and got tested. I'm a healthcare worker. The reality is, you know, I got this thing. And one of the things that upset me and that was most hurtful is I couldn't see my grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get past the illness. But, you know, when it's all said and done, the only thing that's important is to me, and this is personal,
mm-hmm.
the love of your family, and family can include friends and community, and your faith in a higher power. Mm-hmm. To me, those and not being able to see my grandchildren was completely hurtful. If I were the person I used to be, of course that's reason to drink or to drug or to do things that will help me deal with the emotional pain of not being able to cope the way I want to cope. I love my grandchildren. I love them the more I love myself. So, of course, I wanted to see them. And if I'm at home sick and depressed, alcohol could help me take my mind off the depression. But when the effect of alcohol wears off, nothing has changed. In fact, it's just gotten worse.
Great point. Great point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about alcohol, consumption of it, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Are you drinking more now that you are staying at home, teleworking, or just waiting for this to end? Judy, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Judy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I was listening to people talking. I'm in a program, 12-step program, and they are alive and well. There's no excuse. We don't do excuses in the program.
Mm-hmm.
We hang on to each other, and just because we're not there physically, we're sort of there physically. We're doing Zoom. Zoom is all over the internet. People are calling in from all over the country. I don't know why anybody would have a need to pick up any kind of substance. If they were part of a 12-step program and they have not returned, I'm sorry, but we are there for them. And there have been people who call in and say they want to use something, and we hold on to them. We don't let them go.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, you know, the program is alive and well for any. Please let the community know. We are alive and well. You can Google, and it's been on social media where they talk about AA, NA, all 12-step programs are available if you need anything. They are online.
Mm. Well, Judy, thank you very much for your phone call and your support and your vigilance as you move through your program, and we certainly wish you the best of health. And even outside of that, stay safe during this COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much, Judy, for sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 0. So, Dr. Davis, can you talk to me a little bit more about, you know, from your, you know, from your experiences during this shutdown? Because it's been about 60 days. You know, mm-hmm. what have you seen from, you know, whether they are patients or clients that you've dealt with? How are things now different for them as it relates to alcohol and other kinds of health-related stresses and pressures?
Well, what I would say is that I find that many of them are comfortable with doing Zoom meetings, but within that same vein, many are not. And they get a little on edge when you have people show up who are not a part of the NA or AA meeting.
What do you mean by that?
For instance, if you're sitting in your dining room online at your meeting and your wife or kids or brother come up on the screen as well, some people feel violated with that because the anonymity is not there. And it's not guaranteed in terms of how they might perceive it. So all of this has caused some angst because many people don't feel comfortable using computer-based programming. And some prefer to call in and be on the phone. So different programs have offered up different options for many of their clients, but it's important that we, you know, look at making sure you always have self-care, because self-care is what's going to keep you safe, be it physically or emotionally, in the process. And taking time to do self-care when you have a substance use problem is vitally important. It's vitally important that you modulate what you do. You modulate what you consume, and that can be television. You make sure that, you know, you're not trying to place yourself in situations that where you will be constantly triggered, and that may change what you watch on television as well.
That's right.
Let me talk a little bit more about, since we are talking about alcohol, AA meetings, because for some of us, we're not familiar with exactly how they work. Yes, we've seen them in movies and we've seen them on TV dramas and the like. But I think that Dr. Davis has brought up a really critical point for families of people who are recovering from alcoholism, whether you've been recovering for 34 days or 34 years. And so walk me through this. If you were pre-COVID-19, if you went to the community center, to that room in the back of the community center, or to the basement of the church, you go either by yourself or with your sponsor, but not someone who is not who has not been through the process. Is that correct?
You have the option of not including someone.
So if I am
at home, you would not necessarily have that option.
Right, and that's the thing I'm trying to get some clarity on. So if I'm not an alcoholic, but my brother is, can I go with him?
Yes, you can attend a meeting with him.
Okay, I can go with him. However, but that's something that my brother would say. He has to give me permission to be there in support of him.
Let's take it a step further.
Go right ahead.
This whole COVID crisis has created a change in how we deliver healthcare services as well. And as the young lady mentioned, who called in, that, you know, people are meeting virtually. They're on Zoom and they're having meetings. Well, what about the person that just hit bottom, that don't have a phone, that don't have internet access, who can't, or who may not have access to a meeting, or may not have the minutes on the Obama phone or the Medicaid phone that they got to be able to attend a meeting on a regular basis? There's no meeting to go to because everybody's doing it virtually now. And that, you know, creates more isolation, more depression, less hope for a person who has been living hopeless. And, you know, we as community leaders need to instill hope. We need to make sure that we have the infrastructure and the capacity to make to never leave people behind. That's not who we are. That's not who we need to be. We need to make sure that people have access to testing. You know, people who are non-symptomatic, that we're delivering the right messages, and that we're looking at all aspects of the infrastructure. The fact that this has negatively impacted the social interaction that's so important to 12-step programs, you know, and doing things virtually, I get it, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm old school. I would rather hug a person. I would rather be in a room with people who have, you know, on the same journey and have that social interaction. And granted, I can't do that right now, but for a person that struggles with, you know, belonging issues or esteem issues or being disenfranchised from their family, having that social network is so important. And you can't discount, because that's where hope happens.
Yeah,
that's where people learn from each other, the social learning process and learning through the experiences of other people. And, you know, doing a meeting virtually is one thing, but, you know, getting a hug from 100 people in a room is a whole nother thing.
I want to talk a little bit more of that on about that on the other side of the break. But if you're having concerns or issues with alcohol during this COVID-19 pandemic, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about alcohol consumption, overindulgence during the coronavirus shutdown. If you believe you have a problem with it, if you believe that you need help with someone that you know who may be overindulging and consuming of alcohol during the shutdown, you can certainly give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we continue with the conversation, could you, I have both of you, share some a resource or two, if you have one that people could possibly use. And of course, I'll make sure that those resources are posted on our website on whur.com after 8:30. Mr. Burnett, can you share a resource that someone may be able to go to if they're having difficulty with alcohol right now?
Well, any of the behavioral health centers, Prestige has one at 1418 Good Hope Road.
Is there a website Southeast that you can share with us?
Prestige Healthcare. Prestige Healthcare Resources, Inc. Mm-hmm. You can go there, or you can go to prestigeresources.com, and there are links there that will help you access behavioral health services. But again, any of the community-based behavioral health programs. And there's certainly a bunch of them in Southeast and throughout the city, can always make referrals to services. If a person needs to go to detox, they can always go to PIW, Psychiatric Institute of Washington, on Wisconsin Avenue.
Once again, please,
PIW, Psychiatric Institute of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
P as in Paul, IW. And they have detox services available 24/7. Okay. All you have to do is just go report.
Excellent, excellent. Ms. Davis, any resource that you could possibly share for us?
There are resources within, as he said, the Department of Behavioral Health, as well as some private resources with COMAC Clinic and PIDARC. But we
okay, you slow
have,
down. Hold on for a minute. You're going to have to. Hold on.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. You two are in the business, and we are speaking to people who are not. So you're going to have to slow it down and help me with the alphabet soup, because this is important here. So
COLMAC is K-O-L-M-A-C.
Mm-hmm.
So it's COLMAC Clinic, and they have, I believe it's 6 or 7 clinics throughout the D.C. metropolitan area.
Okay.
And one of the other programs is PIDARC, which is P-I-D-A-R-C. I don't remember what the acronym stands for.
I'll find it. How about that?
Yeah, you type that, you can get that in.
Because I definitely want to get this information out to people. And I'll make sure that for all of the organizations and resources that have been mentioned, I'll make sure that I find them and I'll make sure that I post it on our website.
And Salvation Army also offers inpatient programming as well. So they are a good resource as well, right on New York Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
If I could throw one other phone number out there.
Sure.
And it's for the Access Helpline. The Access Helpline is run by the Department of Behavioral Health. Anyone experiencing a problem with alcohol, substances, or mental health can call 888-793-4357, mm-hmm. and they will direct them to care.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I only have about 4 minutes left, and I wanted to kind of drill down. We still do not know how long the shutdown is going to last. There have been discussions, depending on, of course, where you live, about some soft openings, for lack of a better term, while here in the District of Columbia, for example, it doesn't appear that there's going to be anything of the sort, perhaps until the middle, maybe the end of the month or so. For those people who may not be in the throes of alcoholism, but still are looking at taking a serious examination of what's happening with them, what advice do you have for them, Dr. Davis?
I would say to really look at what you are using alcohol for. Are you using it as a coping mechanism? Are you using it to combat loneliness? And is it causing problems within the relationships within your household? Because we know that there's a direct link between alcohol abuse and domestic violence. And so if you're noticing that those things are becoming more prevalent, then you do need to be interested in getting some type of treatment. You may not need to be in detox, but you may need to have some type of therapy, because during this time you've also experienced losses. And we think of losses as death, as typically, but when you think about you've lost your freedom to move around as you choose, you've lost your job quite potentially, you've lost interaction with your friends. There are a number of areas in your life where there have been losses, and you want to make sure that you are coping effectively with the losses, but more importantly, that you're acknowledging that you have them, because we so often don't make the acknowledgement. It's like, oh, it's not a big deal. But it really is a big deal. All of the young people who are missing graduation, it's a big deal. And yeah. So we also need to be considerate that we have adolescents out there who will be using substances as well, who we need to watch over.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And also from your perspective, if I could, Mr. Burnett, where do we go from here as we try to keep people from drinking to excess, if they aren't alcoholics, and those who may be feeling the stress and the pressure of the moment and may be teetering on the precipice of relapse?
I think it is important to have resources in your life that will help you move yourself forward. I'm not going to go to somebody who's currently drinking and ask them, how do I stop? I'm going to go to somebody who successfully stopped drinking and ask them, what are the steps I need to take to get where you are. And so where you get your information from is very important. And I think this pandemic has shown us that the world has changed. And we are going to have to change to what has become a new environment. But the responsibility of change is still on us. You know, ultimately, we have to take personal responsibility for the condition of our lives and the direction it goes in. So if I have concerns about, you know, my drinking, I'm going to reach out to people who have the history and the skills to provide those services. And if I don't have those people in my life, I can just pick up the phone. I can get on the internet and do some research. I can reach out to people because the hotlines are still there. Okay, Access Helpline is still there. You know, the community health providers, they're still there. And if God puts me in a position where that's where I end up, then maybe he's trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
Maybe I got to do some work.
Yeah. Well, I want to say again, I'm so glad to hear that you have, you know, recovered from the COVID-19 infection. And again,
thank
congratulations
you.
On 34 years of sobriety. Also, Dr. Davis, thank you so much for participating in the conversation. And please
so
stay
much.
Safe as well. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, May 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Stay safe. Good night.